Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Glad to have you with us here on this Wednesday. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is out sick today. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline with us. And we'll get to all the news that pertains to on the field, Sal. But I'm glad Zach just mentioned the ownership story, because it's not something that's come up frequently in here. I don't really know like what to say about it. And I guess I want to ask you, like, what should fans be thinking about the Pegula family selling a bit, like taking on investors in ownership of the team? It seems they in Miami are doing this. The league recently changed some rules about private investment firms, I think, being able to funnel money into pro sports ownership at the NFL level. I'm just curious what you make of the whole thing.
Yeah, good afternoon, buddy.
Hi.
So this doesn't change anything as far as who's running the team or making decisions, obviously. Terry Pegula is still the main owner, the Buffalo Bills majority owner. The NFL changed rules because for many years, it basically said you have to have one person own, you know, pretty much the team. And you could have minority investors, but even that one person, or I guess, you know, husband, wife, would have to own a certain percentage. However, teams have ballooned so much. It's become so pricey to buy a team. It's almost impossible for one person these days to be able to buy a team. So they've actually adjusted some rules over the last several years, and they've lowered the threshold of, you know, one person versus maybe how much, you know, minority share that can be. You had the Broncos, for example, go, I believe, close to $6 billion a couple of years ago, which is insane.
Yeah.
Right? People just don't have that kind of money, even the richest people, you know, sitting around. So they had to lower and change some rules. And because of that also, and the way that, you know, and I think the NBA has done this, but, you know, other sports leagues have been allowing a little bit more of these, you know, private investment firms, because there's people with so much money in these firms. The NFL's kind of steered clear of that because they don't really want companies, you know, being in charge, and they want to have, again, kind of more of a streamlined process. But because of the nature of how much it is, they've said, okay, back in, I guess, May it would have been, they approved finally saying, okay, we'll allow this now, but it has to be capped at, I believe, 10% is how much, you know, any private investing firm can have a stake. So once that happened, you know, it started to kind of percolate around the league. There's been teams that have kind of poked around, and it's opened it up to other people to possibly invest. If you remember back week three, right before the Jacksonville Jaguars, Monday Night Football, I don't know how many people knew this or saw this, but Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, and Jozy Altidore were at the game. They were on the field. I met them. I talked to them. Nobody kind of knew why. There was a, I think it was a retirement, jersey retirement going on. Maybe Vince Carter, they tied that to it. You know, hey, it's the NFL. Well, now we know why. They're actually part of the investors and investment groups that are, you know, a part of this. Overall, so that's the operational piece of it, the financial piece of it. Overall, though, people who are investing, that's all they're doing. They're investing. They're giving money to be a part owner of a team where they'll get some return of investment, of course, in some capacity, but they don't go to owners' meetings. They don't make decisions. They're right. not deciding who's being hired and who's being fired. They have no say in that process. My guess is they'll get a suite of some sort or a box, right,
right
at the game.
Right,
like, that's
right,
probably going to happen. Right. You know, you'll get something like that. But that's really what
do they have to pay for the PSL sale? What do they have to pay for the PSL?
Yes, that's right. And look, Bulldog, Terry bought the team $1.4 billion. It's valued now, I believe, at close to around $4 billion. I mean, you're talking, you know, pretty much, you know, quadrupling what the value of the team is. So even at 25%, which is what you can have the total minority, what there was a report, you know, a while back that Terry was looking to sell or invest, you know, people invest in, 25% is $1 billion essentially now, if that's what the valuation is. Well, that takes care of a lot of different costs, including stadium costs and overruns and things like that. But those people are a part owner that they'll have return on investment, you know, later on.
I guess it's pretty cool that if you're going to get, like, you know, owners that won't really have a voice, at least, like, three of them anyway are famous former athletes, right? Like, it's like, nothing against the, there were like two pages that I saw that the Bills sent out. They're like a bunch of people you've never heard of, and then there's these three cats, like, oh, yeah, okay, Jozy Altidore, woo, Vince Carter. Boy, you were ready to go on an answer there. As I started asking you, I thought, man, I hope Sal's ready for this. You're so good, man. You're just on top of everything. Awesome.
No, I appreciate it. And I'll add some clarity and background to those three, especially the two basketball players. New Bills COO Pete Guelli, you know, he was in the Bills organization in the early 2000s. And then his next job, he left and he ran basically the business side of things on the Charlotte Bobcats. Or was it the Hornets at the time? I always get confused and my apologies on that. But basically, Pete worked with and under Michael Jordan for years. And they became close, and they still have a very strong relationship. I know that. And because of his ties through the basketball world, I think that's how you connect those dots of him getting to and this organization ultimately getting to people like Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady, who are now part owner.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline with us here on WGR. Bills back to work on a Wednesday, getting ready for a Sunday afternoon game, 4:25 at Detroit to face the Lions. And it has become customary here the last couple of weeks, I think, Wednesday, just a light walkthrough, and I guess at this point, Sal, I'd anticipate that being the case for the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, I was wondering after the bye week if they would continue to do this. We've had a couple games now since the bye week, and they've continued to do it because it made sense before the bye week. You haven't had a bye. You're late in the season, but now we're past the bye. They're still doing it. Wednesday, walkthroughs, allowing guys to, you know, have a little bit more rest for their body. I will say, though, it also does coincide with, remember, a week ago they played a Sunday night game. So it's a Wednesday's a quicker turnaround. And even in this game, I know it was a 4:25. It's out in California, though. We got home, like the plane got back. I landed at 3:30 and I got home at 4 a.m. So that's also, I'm sure, a little bit baked in there. So I do wonder, the last few games that will have the exact same kind of schedule when it's a 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon game on the last few games of the year. It's 4:25 again, but my guess is that's what they'll continue to do.
So what is the news of the day injury-wise, Sal? It seems like mostly good, although I shouldn't say that. Rasul Douglas and Taylor Rapp sound like maybe there's some alarm. Just give us the rundown on everything here if you can.
Yeah, for sure. Rasul Douglas has a knee injury. Now, during the game, him and Taylor Rapp collided, as you saw. After that play, Taylor Rapp came off the field with what was called a shoulder injury. He was cleared. He went back in the game. He finished the game. Rasul Douglas came off the field after laying on the turf for quite a while, as you know, came off the field. They said it was a back injury for him. He went back out there, though. He actually went back on the field. He played one series. Then he came back out with a knee injury. He did not finish the game. He also didn't go to the locker room, which is obviously an encouraging sign. So he didn't like leave the field, but he didn't go back in the game with the knee injury. So he is listed with the knee. He did not practice today. We'll see. Sean McDermott kind of didn't want to commit either way about going forward, which is good. You know, it doesn't. I would at least as of right now, the window is open that he could return this week or be able to be available on Sunday. Taylor Rapp, though, with the neck slash shoulder because of what happened, you know, in the game, I'm guessing, and the fact that, you know, he was a little bit banged up last week as well. Wouldn't be surprised if we go out there and tomorrow he's wearing a red non-contact jersey if he is practicing at all. But it's obviously something to monitor with both players. Casey Tuhill left the game ribs. And then he didn't finish, but he was limited today. Everybody else was a full participant, including Keon Coleman, including Dalton Kincaid. Obviously, very good news on that front. And then the other big news on the injury front, Bulldog, is they've opened the practice window of both Dewan Smoot and Baylen Spector. And I think of the two there, Smoot is more interesting to me because he was playing well and he's so versatile on the defensive line.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I don't want to say that I had forgotten about him, but I guess I have to admit I kind of had. Like, I think his name has come up a few times, but it's good to see that he has the potential to return because I think he was showing signs of being somewhat impactful.
Yeah, I agree with you. They have used him inside and outside. I think when he is available, Dewan Smoot, that is, you can also do things with other players and have them play different roles at different times in the game. And you can really kind of mix and match your defensive front. And I think that's the biggest thing that he kind of, I think it was the Houston game, he had the play, the sack. He had the sack on C.J. Stroud, right? If I remember correctly, late in that game, all the Bills didn't wind up winning the game, but it was a huge play. But yeah, you're right. I think he's a guy that they really rely on. He actually, if you remember, going back to, you know, I think he missed the first week of the season with an injury, and Sean McDermott said he actually, like, makes the defensive calls for the D line on third down. That's a really big responsibility for a guy, right, to be able to do that. So he's a really important piece for what they do, both for his IQ, what he means to the defense, and the versatility he brings.
We're going to want to get back to Douglas and Rapp here in what they would do or could do if either or both are unavailable. But the good news you mentioned on Kincaid and Coleman fully practicing, again, just a walkthrough, but still, I mean, there are guys who were DNP, and we've seen guys be limited. In fact, Casey Tuhill, like you said, was today, even though it was just a walkthrough. That means those guys are on track to return and play, right, Coleman and Kincaid?
I would think so. You never know until, you know, it goes throughout the week. They might be full participants. Sorry, it might be full participants today, but does that mean that they get through the day, through tomorrow, everything's fine? How do they feel? You could get to Friday and it's just like, well, I've done everything, I just don't feel 100% right. So, yes, I think that means that they're trending that way, they're tracking that way, but of course, obviously, you need to make sure they get through all of these days and not have any setbacks or any discomforts.
I wonder how that will affect the rotation. You know, like the Bills had ended up with a very prolific passing day. Cooper had 14 targets, and they scored 42 points. I mean, it was, you know, one of their most explosive passing days of the season so far. And like, I want the good players back, and I think Coleman and Kincaid are certainly good players. I think Coleman was really starting to emerge when he got hurt. The timing maybe couldn't have been worse. I guess what do you think it'll mean for, like, Mac Hollins has impressed here, Sal. Like, I haven't exactly put out an online apology form, but there were times early this year I was like, what are we doing with this guy playing all the time? I mean, he's rewarded them, and when everybody was healthy the last time they were, it was very brief because Cooper got hurt and then Coleman got hurt, and we haven't really had the full assortment barely since Cooper got here. But the one game they were all available, Hollins' snap count did go down. I wonder if that will still be the case if they have their full complement of guys.
Yeah, me too. I'm wondering how all this is going to shake out, right? I mean, it's a good quote-unquote problem to have, right? If you can have everybody healthy and everybody's contributing and you got to make decisions like that. Hollins has really started to step up and make some key catches. Now, he's not a monster, you know, target guy, and he's not you know, filling up volume box score, but he's been really critical in some key situations. Not just last week on that touchdown. He had a couple real critical first down catches, I think, against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, if it was. But, you know, those are decisions you have to make. And let's remember, too, I mean, the Bills, you know, they rely on these guys to block. Holland's a good blocker, and I think they feel good about Keon Coleman there. But, you know, you want to make sure that, especially with the wrist injury, right? Do you want to put him in a position where he's going to be blocking people as well? So that could come into play at some point. I think getting Dalton Kincaid back would be a huge boost. Only one catch for 5 yards for Dawson Knox, but look, he played well last few games before that that he's had to step up. But I think the Bills would obviously love to be able to have Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox as your number two. And Quentin Morris, by the way, he's another guy that came back to practice. So, you know, if you can have your healthy complement of tight ends and not have to elevate Zach Davidson and, you know, then use Reggie Gilliam, you know, as your emergency third tight end, only two available on the roster other than that, I think obviously that would be a huge boost.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline with me here on WGR for a few more minutes on a Wednesday as the Bills ramp up to travel to Detroit for a Sunday afternoon 4:25 kickoff against the Detroit Lions. All right, back to Douglas and Rapp, recognizing it's the first injury report of the week, and we want to be hopeful that even though they didn't participate today, that they can get back and play in this game. If they can't, if either or both have to miss, I think it'd be a natural reaction with the news last week. I never even got to really talk about it because I was out last Wednesday and Thursday sick, like Mike is sick today, when Micah Hyde rejoined the practice squad. Sal, I'll just ask it flat out. Taylor Rapp can't go. Does Micah Hyde get elevated already, or is it too soon?
I think it's too soon. I don't think so. I think you need a couple of injuries there. I envision maybe a couple of weeks, and then if you go through a couple injuries, then even then you'd have to wait for maybe multiple injuries for him to be elevated. I think that you're probably looking at Cole Bishop, you know, being more involved. I would think that Cam Lewis would be your starter there. Maybe Cole Bishop would, because Cam can become your dime defender, but you do have options. So if you don't have Taylor Rapp, yeah, you could go with Cam Lewis as your starter, but then you're probably not using him as much in the backup nickel role throughout practice that week, and you have to think about that and what that role entails, and your dime safety. You also have to be the complication here with Rasul Douglas, because with Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram, one of those two guys becomes your dime safety.
Right.
There's a backup nickel involved there. So it could just be Cole Bishop, so the other two guys can do what they're supposed to do. So I do think you have options there. We'll see. Yeah, and then you could also elevate another, you know, you could elevate Kareem Jackson, right? He's a guy on the practice squad. So they do have options there. I don't think you're looking at that. And then the other one is, you know, if Rasul Douglas can't go, by the way, we almost buried the lead, and I didn't tell you this, like, today, because you haven't been, you know, you weren't down there, but it was interesting. Sean McDermott was a bit edgy today in his press conference, and I just thought it was interesting that he was, and one of the examples of that was, you know, him being asked about Kyrie Elam and, you know, why he's a healthy scratch, and Jamarcus Ingram's been playing. And I would think Matt Bove and I actually debated this on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo today. We posed the question to each other, what happens if Rasul Douglas can't go? And Matt said he thinks Kyrie Elam would be the guy. I think Jamarcus Ingram would be the guy. So, like, it's really interesting. And Sean, for his point, said, you know, everything's earned around here. Everything's earned. He was specifically asked, well, you're saying that Kyrie Elam hasn't earned it. And he said, well, it's not saying that necessarily he hasn't earned it, but maybe others have earned it more. It was just really interesting. Sean was a bit more on edge today, I think. Edgy, I should say. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm not criticizing. I thought he was really actually good and poignant, and his answers were a little bit more detailed than what we normally get from him. But it also might be because he was a little bit more edgy.
Yeah, wow. I'm going to be really interested to, I mean, I know Elam's been a scratch, so it's not shocking. But boy, when he stepped in last year, I mean, I know it was rocky. I mean, he got called for penalties, but then end zone in the interception in the playoff game against Pittsburgh. Douglas tried to play the next week against Kansas City, and that didn't go very well. Like, Elam, boy, that would be really something. Not shocking, but I think something to really monitor during the week here, because there is talent in there in Elam, and I just wonder, really, I guess the big question is, Sal, like you said, he's edgy about it and phrased it the way he phrased it about earning it. I wonder what Elam is or isn't doing during the week that has them maybe feeling a little salty, or him, McDermott specifically, feeling pretty salty about him.
Yeah, and let me be clear. It wasn't just that answer, but that was one answer of a larger bunch of answers, obviously, today. I just think overall he was, like I said, a little bit edgy is the word I used today, and I asked some people in the media room, was it just me? They're like, no, he definitely was. But that was just one of the answers that I think was a good example of that. There were others, too. You can go back and watch it. I just thought it was interesting today at the press conference. And I don't know. I would say this, though. I think one of the reasons Kyrie Elam's not getting a game day jersey, Bulldog, is because the fifth corner has to play special teams. And I don't know if they trust him on special teams, to be honest with you, to do a lot of the stuff that some of these guys can do.
Right.
And some people can say, oh, that doesn't matter. It matters to the Bills. You might not think it should matter, but it does matter. So from that standpoint, you could see him. Maybe he is the guy next up because Jamarcus Ingram would offer you more in the special teams role, right? And maybe you get the best of a little bit. You kind of raise the floor at both spots, I guess, right? Yeah. If what you want to do. So it is interesting, you know, how they approach it.
I can be guilty of saying I don't care about special teams, but then you get a punt blocked right, or get a big return against you, and I'll be, you know, okay, I guess I care a little more than I wanted to let on. Sheepishly, he said on the radio. Sal, before you go, is there anything else that we haven't covered that needs to be mentioned from today out there?
Nothing from today. No, they'll be back out tomorrow, okay, and we'll get more of a full report.
Okay, good deal. Bill Belichick, North Carolina? Sal, I opened the show today. I mean, I'm excited about getting back to this conversation we're having with the fans about McDermott. Been a lot of good calls in the first hour of the show. But I needed to mention the Belichick thing because it just so blindsided me. I would not have, you could have told me back in the summer, oh, he's going to go coach in college, and not just coach in college, but at a school that's more famous for basketball than for football. And I said, like, you are on meth. What are you talking? There's no way. Why would he do that? And it looks like that's where we are, and my mind is never going to be unblown by it, unless you can make some sense of it for me.
Well, number one, I think that we've all seen that he wants to coach again, right? I mean, it's kind of clear. That's to me, that's always been the agenda behind why he's doing so much TV and on so many platforms. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. Like, he's marketing himself, right? That's what you do. And I think he's great at it, by the way. Like, we're going to lose this great analyst on TV and all these. I think he's been sensational in that role particularly. But I think that's always been the goal. Like, we're going to put you out there. People are going to see you again. You're Bill Belichick, and you want to go back to coaching. I think he wants the NFL head coaching wins record to break Don Shula. I think, Bulldog, from things that I've heard, I don't think that those feelers are going very well. I think enough teams have said, we don't really want Bill Belichick. It's not what we want to do now. We want to go younger, and that's why he didn't get a job last cycle. So at that point, you start to pivot, right? If you're Bill Belichick, you're his agent. You got to strike now, because if you don't take a college job now and then you don't get an NFL job, you're sitting out another year. So I think this is where he lands to the college point. But obviously what we saw was, and you've read, 400-page, you know, document on how I'm going to use this as a feeder program for the NFL and, you know, prepare these people for the next level. That is great. It sounds awesome. I think Deion Sanders has done a good job of that, by the way. This is not a novel concept, but this is his way of doing it. What I would say is, I don't think it's going to matter. As much as I'll praise Bill Belichick for as great as he's been on television, and I know that he has, close to the all-time win record in the NFL and all those kinds of things, Bulldog, you can tell a kid. This is the way I envision it, I would say. You could tell a kid or a parent.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
and all you want. I have this great big plan for you to come here and get you to the NFL. We are living in an era now, for right or wrong, where that parent is still going to look, that kid is going to look at you and say, okay, coach, how much money am I going to make?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. It doesn't matter. You can have this the greatest plan in the world, I think, in college now, to have a pipeline to get to the NFL. You're still going to have to deal with NIL in the portal, and you're going to have to pay people to stay and pay people to come. That's just the way it is, and I don't think he's going to want to do that. And I'm not saying it's going to be disastrous. That's not what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, it's we talked, I think, about this with Ross Tucker a little bit yesterday, Sal, and we'll wrap up here. I know I'm keeping you a little bit longer than normal. Ross said, like, the coaches that he knows that are coaching in college are looking to take position coach jobs, yes, in the NFL, just because the landscape, yes, has become so volatile that they want to get out. And here's Belichick, never coached in college. This is his point of entry. It just blows my mind. And we mentioned a little bit yesterday, Mike and I talked about it too. Like, how impressed is a 17 or 18-year-old kid with Bill Belichick right now? Their parents might be like, oh my God, it's Bill Belichick. But right. I don't know, a 17 or 18-year-old kid, he's the guy that got canned by the Patriots because he couldn't win without Brady.
Listen, no disrespect to my friend Nate Geary or any other Notre Dame fan out there, because they've had a heck of a season. It's the same discussion about Notre Dame we've had for the last whatever years, which is, well, 18-year-old kids don't know about Notre Dame's history anymore. They just, it doesn't matter. Yeah, their dad, it totally matters to them, but they're like, I don't know, like, what do I see? I see Clemson and I see Georgia and all these other schools and winning championships. Well, what are you talking about? Last time you were relevant, 1980s, right? Winning games. And again, I'm not trying to disrespect. It's just true. What you said, yep, is right. Like, yeah, that doesn't matter to me. So I remember having the same discussion with Bobby Hurley when he was here in Buffalo. When Bobby Hurley was here in Buffalo, like, yeah, he had this huge name, and Bobby recognized, he goes, well, the parents know who I am. The kids don't necessarily know who I am when I talk to them.
Right, right. And that can be what matters the most. Obviously, it's the kid's decision, I mean, depending family by family. Anyway, all right.
Right.
Thank you for going long on that with me, Sal, and we'll catch up again tomorrow.
All right, you got it, man. Thanks.
That's our dude, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? All right, we'll fire the phones back up at 803-0550. Real easy one for you. Do you believe the Bills can win the Super Bowl with Sean McDermott as their head coach? There's a poll up on the X machine here. Absolutely. Maybe, but I'm shook. Doubt it. And of course not, are your four choices. Have at it. And, you know, more pointedly, call me and tell me on the air what you think, wherever you're standing there, because we've had another one of these weeks where it's like a referendum on McDermott as the Bills coach. As nutty as that may sound to some of you, sitting at 10-3, already winning their fifth consecutive AFC East title. It was barely even December and they had already clinched it. You know, late game mistakes, or certainly things that can be taken as mistakes and argued about, have that conversation sort of heated up again. And I thought we'd just stare it right in the face instead of talking all around it and just flat out ask you, you believe the Bills can win the Super Bowl with McDermott as their coach? We'll pick right up on that after this. 803-0550 again is the number. Mike Shope is out today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog and you're listening to WGR.
They set the table, right? And the line of scrimmage has to be set usually by the defensive line, but also not just them. In this case, it's linebackers, safeties, corners. It takes all 11 in that regard. So, you know, I think there's been some really good moments, and I think there's some things for sure that we can improve on.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about his defense, which had a pretty tough time in L.A. against the Rams on Sunday. The Rams 44-42 win over the Bills. I mean, they just convert third down after third down. Bills couldn't get to Stafford, and their receivers made some great plays, and there you go. 803-0550 is the number. Sorry for the audio pregnant pause. Mike Shope is out sick today. I'm the Bulldog. Glad to have you rolling with us here. We'll get back to the phone calls here and talking about your faith in Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Do you believe the Bills can win the Super Bowl with Sean McDermott as their head coach? It's been another one of those weeks around here where some late game decisions certainly were questionable enough to pore over and argue about. And that always brings out a certain element of the fan base. Again, not being judgmental about that. But it's hard to ever really tell if, like, it's just a, you know, a small group of people who just keep their heads down while the Bills are winning seven in a row, and then come back out when, oh, look, they lost, and look, oh, we did this thing. Ah. Again, that probably sounds patronizing. I don't mean it to. I'm friends with people who feel strongly about this. So, like, I deal with it. I respect you. But it's interesting to me that every time they seem to lose a game, it turns into a referendum on 13 seconds, and is this guy going to ever get it right in a big moment? He's gotten it right in big moments before. They've done a lot of winning here. And big moments aren't all at the end of games. There's fourth down calls, and he's been aces in that, mostly. There's certainly exceptions. There's no hard and fast. He always does one thing. I think the only guy that right now has that reputation, and I think it is sticky, is the guy they're playing this week, Dan Campbell. Like, he's going for it. I heard Lomas Brown, great former offensive lineman, who's the radio color guy now for the Lions. And he was on with Brownie and Tasker while I was on my way in this afternoon. And he said, I have to, like, adjust my entire mindset. He's like, Steve, I'm like you. I played in an era, like, I kick the field goal, give him a long field, like all the stuff that, you know, we've heard and had explained to us for years by former players and former coaches who are still have been pushing back. I think that the pushback is ending, but have been pushing back on the charts and the graphs and the analytics and the go for it and the win probability and all the stuff. And Lomas Brown's like, I have to adjust my entire mindset while I'm calling the game, because every series is a four down series. I gotta treat it like a four down series. I gotta kind of adjust here. Third down is not the end of the series. Like, you gotta mentally adapt to that. So you know, that guy Campbell scores very high, but I think McDermott has gotten a lot of credit, and rightly so. Not so much with his harshest critics, but he's been really on top of the fourth down stuff this year. And, you know, I think it sort of goes unnoticed in games. Like, it's early in the Miami game, and they're going to go for it on fourth down, and they score, and then Tua gets hurt, and they end up boat racing Miami. And it's like, we don't dwell on that call. The quintessential one this year is against the Chiefs, fourth and two, late in the game. You have a lead already, but another touchdown can really end it. Kicking a field goal is not a good idea. You're going to give the ball back to that dude on the other side, and you're probably going to go home a loser. McDermott recognized all that. He was on with us, Mike and myself, the day after that, and explained in great detail. Great detail, but at least the most detail you are going to get from an NFL head coach about the decision, and even being prepared for it, like thinking about it during the week. If we're faced with this sort of scenario, what are we going to do? And they were ready for it. And you got a touchdown and a 9-point lead, and you ended up winning the game. So, you know, it cuts both ways, but when we have a moment like we had Sunday, it just brings it all back in. So that's what we've been talking about mostly today. 803-0550 is the number, and we'll fire the phone calls back up here. Luke will lead us off this segment. Hi, Luke. Thank you for calling. You are on the air here on WGR.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. When you say they're 10-3 and he deserves credit, does he really deserve it, or is it really mostly Allen? Same with the five division titles. Just like Belichick with his 11 with Brady, nothing after. And you even said he was Belichick's loss without Brady. He was sub-500. He was sub-500 also in Cleveland. That's where McDermott would be without Allen. He's lucky to have had Allen, and he's benefiting from Allen's greatness. Allen is a remarkable player, and most of the NFL has seen it, particularly this year, although I saw it way earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that you're concerned on the last play with the nine men on. I think that it's more problematic than that. that would have been like the last play. You need a touchdown on the return, but it didn't have to be that. He could have, instead of panicking and taking that timeout, he could have had the players at the 1 yard line realign, go in within 10 seconds. That would save about 30 seconds Barstool Sports called it an asinine move, embarrassing, which it clearly is, but it clearly shows myopic thinking on McDermott's part, which he has never separated from, including this Tyre Elam thing. But to finish my point on that play alone, he misunderstands timeouts and actual time involved at critical points. He stated afterwards that it felt like that with so little time left that he felt like he had to take a timeout, totally eschewing that he needed a second drive, a field goal drive with some time left, all right? So he basically, at that point, put the Bills in a position where they had to recover an onside kick.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
Well, it's ridiculous. He didn't have to do that. They could have easily lined up and ran another play. Within 10 seconds, they were all there.
I think you're being very generous on the 10 seconds thing. I don't know how estimates vary. Plenty of former players, not just ones who played for the Bills or work for the Bills, have said that can take 15 to 20 seconds. Mike made a good point that if the players on the defense look like they're intentionally, you know, slowly, which they of course would, unpiling to try to keep you from getting lined up quickly and saving time, that they have, and this has happened in the league, they'll stop the clock because it looks like the defense is being intentional about that. But even still, I think 10 seconds is being extremely greedy, that you think that you're going to get lined up and run a play with 10 seconds. So I'll just say that. And furthermore, Luke, you talked for a long time and you made your case, and I appreciate it and I respect it. I think you sound to me like someone who wants to never give him any credit for anything that he has done. When you lead off with 10-3, and it's all because of Allen and all the success. Well, of course, and you can attach that to my commentary about Belichick and Brady, and that's accurate. Like, Belichick needed Brady, but Brady needed Belichick too. Like, he wasn't just going to win without one of the best coaches ever. And to just disregard everything else that McDermott has touched, which, by the way, is every single facet of the operation over there, I think that's just too far with the criticism. Like, he's just a passenger here. Where they were when he walked in the door was nowhere. And he has built a juggernaut here. And it is not just Josh Allen. Yes, Josh Allen is the skeleton key that unlocks every door for you. And you need it to be successful. Any coach does. But to just disregard everything else, I just think is... I don't know. You're revealing a bias, and like, you know, when I get caught in mine, I can feel sheepish about that and want to reconsider and think about how I'm saying things, because it happens to everyone. But man, I just think you're way too far. I agree with the criticism about Sunday. I agree with the criticism about last year. There have been these, of course, 13 seconds quintessentially. That's why we're talking today. Like, do you think they can do it? And, like, you can think no because of everything you said, but, man, I just think you did a bad job making your case, because you sound to me like someone who thinks he's had no impact at all of any kind of positive thing that has happened there. And that, I just think, is absurd. 803-0550 is the number. We'll keep going on this, really, right up until Paul shows up and the Sabres ruin our lives again. Coming at 6 pregame for Sabres and Rangers. I should probably stop phrasing it that way. I'm going to have a meeting at some point. 803-0550 is the number. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is out sick today. Thanks for listening. This is WGR. Hey, contest time. Be callers 5 and 6. That's right. We're taking not one, but two lucky winners at 716-221-4WGR. That's 221-4947. And callers 5 and 6 are going to win a Miller Lite and Buffalo Bills ugly Christmas sweater, courtesy of Miller Lite. Miller Lite tastes like Miller time, Bills fans. Must be 21 years of age or older to win. Good luck. 803-0550 is the number. The poll is cruising along here. The absolutely and maybe, but I'm shook replies to can the Bills win the Super Bowl with Sean McDermott as their head coach are leading the way pretty aggressively. Doubt it has a measly 16% of the responses so far, and of course not is just under 4% at 3.9. Absolutely leading the way at 41%, maybe, but I'm shook is 38.9. I would describe me as maybe, but I'm shook. I don't know, but maybe sounds almost like I think, yes, they can. I believe they can, but I'm shook. So I maybe should have gone with probably, but I'm shook. I don't know. But anyway, maybe, but I'm shook is about where I am. I think McDermott's done way more good than bad here. I don't even think it's close, which is why the last guy that's like, you know, basically describing him as a passenger here while Josh Allen is doing all these wondrous things, which, of course, Josh Allen is doing, I just think is way off base. But I'm shook. Like I've been here for all of it. And I don't know what's going to happen if you're in a situation here where there's a big fourth down nursing a lead and you're at the opponent's 44 and it's the AFC title game or it's the Super Bowl. Like, is he going to follow through like he's been doing for season over season now and do what I think has been proven to be the right thing and go for it? Or is he going to try to kick a 58-yard field goal to give himself a 6-point lead with a minute and a half left? Like, what? I don't know. I know how he's handled those situations mostly in regular season games, and that's only one thing. That's just fourth downs. We had a goal line scenario in Houston that got people mad. I didn't mind it. At their own goal line, it was passing instead of running out the clock and playing for overtime. I was fine trying to go for it. It cost them. There's no denying it. It cost them. They punted. Houston got into field goal range and beat them without even getting to overtime. And then the scenario in the Ram game, a couple of different things. There was the accepted penalty on the Rams' last touchdown drive. Then there's the sequence at the goal line that led to the Bills' last score. And then nine dudes on the field for the punt that was maybe the worst of all. And it's funny because that is probably like your chance of doing something that's going to be impactful there, blocking the kick or running the kick back on some crazy lateral play, are very remote. But to only have nine guys on the field for that coming out of a timeout, I want to be more buttoned up than that. That was very alarming to me. Brian is up next this segment on WGR. Thanks for calling, Brian. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. So I would rate it as doubtful. And this is kind of why. I think these gaffes are kind of baked into your experience with Sean McDermott. I mean, I think we can point to this multiple times over multiple seasons. You're 8 years in, and we're sitting here explaining a basic three-timeout scenario where the coach says after the game both choices are pretty bad. And then 24 hours later on the Zoom call, he goes, yeah, if I had to do it again, I'd probably just keep all three timeouts. I think that was probably the most important thing. So,
well, didn't he say passing was maybe a better option? I think after talking it over, that's an important caveat there, that he thought maybe about throwing on first down there instead of calling the sneak.
Yeah, and again, 8 years in, and we're kind of trying to figure this out. I mean, everyone in the living room, I was the same way. I'm sitting 2 feet away from the TV, timeout. I went, no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the final points of this is, you know, you look at McDermott, we're 8 years in, like I said, is he entitled to the rest of Josh Allen's career? Josh Allen's in his seventh year. He's 28. He'll be 29 next year. So to me, it kind of hinges on, you know, how does this team perform this year in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Is his defense up to the task? Is his team up to the task? I mean, we're talking about a coach with a 5-6 career playoff record. What you don't want to do is get 4 years later, Allen's in his late prime or declining, mm-hmm. and then you go, oh, man, we had Marty Schottenheimer. We had Marvin Lewis, and we should have done something sooner. I mean, do you ever want to see it with an offensive kind of mind as a head coach? So I would say McDermott has done a lot of nice things. It's just getting to that point where it's like, okay, we've kind of seen his defense. We've seen his philosophy. We've seen, you know, trust the process. He's talking about it again today. We've kind of seen it. And so it's either, to me, in the next couple seasons, either you win a Super Bowl or, thanks, Sean, we went as far as we can. I mean, if you keep going wild card, divisional, or AFC championship, then four straight divisionals, okay. If you have a deep run, that buys you more time.
Right.
But I think we're on that tipping point with McDermott. You're going to have to accept these gaffes because that's who he is. I don't think it's ever going to get better. So that to me, it's a year-by-year kind of basis.
All right, Brian, good job. Thank you very much for calling. You've added to the experience, hopefully, for the audience listening to the show. You certainly added to my enjoyment of hosting the radio show today. Was that like the nicest call dismissal ever?
It was really nice.
It's the holiday season. I'm here for giving. And I'm also trying to, like, you know, make up for the way I've referred to the Sabres playing tonight.
A little mean.
We're all a work in progress, all right? And that includes me, your humble host. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is out sick today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WG.